Belize is at the thumb of the Yucatan Peninsula, just south of Cancun, and just above Honduras, to the east of Mexico, to the very eastern side of Mexico. Guatemala is on its left side, on the western side. Very good. It's a tiny little country, very diverse. I was telling your pastor, almost an equal amount of some cultures there that are very unique. For example, the Mennonites have come over the last 50, 60 years from Canada and from Mexico. So a lot of them speak Low German and Spanish. And they don't speak English, which is the official language of Belize. So they have to learn it. Chinese have come. After communism came in to China, a lot of Chinese businessmen wanted to leave because their business was going to be, you know, disheveled and given out to everybody. Communism. And so they put their money together and they went to different countries around the world. And one of those countries was Belize. And so they invested, they bought property, they started businesses. A lot of stores are run by Chinese families. All three, there's Cantonese, Mandarin, and Taiwanese. And the sad thing is, even though Belize has had a lot of missionaries, people that have come down, have done a lot of good work, people have done mission teams and things like that, but left, I think they came more as tourists, but very few stayed, none of them have stayed to work with the Chinese. Now, you know, we can't send Chinese missionaries, we can't send missionaries to China, but we can send someone to Belize to work with the Chinese. There's over 12,000 Chinese in Belize. And as far as we know, there are no Bible teaching ministries or churches among the Chinese. There's the Caribbean Afro-Latino people, okay, and they speak Creole. I'll give you an example of Creole in English. It's English Creole. D-I-S-D-A-F-U-W-I-C-H-I-K-I-N. Distafuichikin. That is the name of a company that processes poultry, chicken, okay? And that phrase means this, there, for us, for we, chicken. This is our chicken. That's the name of it. So when they don't want you to understand what you're saying, they slip into Creole very, very quickly, and it's hard to understand. And they do have a very thick accent in English as well, kind of Jamaican, Bahamas, Yaman. Okay, you get the picture. About half of the population speak Spanish. Now, that doesn't mean they're all Hispanic, but a lot of Spanish-speaking people have come in from Honduras, Mexico, and Guatemala especially. And right now that is a kind of a source of a sore spot because there is some border skirmishes and arguing over the border between Belize and Guatemala. All right, any other questions? Yes. The Mennonites wanted a nice, peaceful, quiet place with cheap land, and they got it. They came, their great-grandparents came with oxen, opened the land. It was a jungle. Most of Belize is jungle, very, very hot, tropical, and bought thousands of acres. And they put cattle, they have Brahma cattle, corn, they export beef and corn. And then their children started businesses. There's John Deere dealerships, mainly for the Mennonites who do farming. There are other businesses, tire businesses and things. And then just in the last 10, 15 years, they've discovered oil in their land. So they've become even wealthier. Now, the country is very thankful for them because they, if they want a road, they just build it because they have the equipment. In our village, the bridge kept, on the rainy season, kept having 10, 15 feet of water often. And so they couldn't get their corn and their oil out to market quickly enough. And so they bought land from different people over, I'm going to say, 10 miles and built a road in less than 3 months. It was done. Yeah, I'm not going to make any comments about 85 or how long it takes to. Okay, all right. Any other questions? Good. Yes? That's a good question. We started, we went to the country with about 95 or so percent of our support. That was 5 years ago. It's been adjusted once, and it needs to be adjusted again. But when we came home, we were figuring under 90, about 89 or something. So a couple of churches had to drop us because of their financial problems. But the Lord is providing just out of the blue moon. Two churches have called us. I'm sure that's happened to you, brother. And it's a blessing when they just said, we were going through and we just saw your prayer card and would you like to come for a conference? And so we went, and one in Indiana recently took us on for support and another one to replace those two. But thank you for asking. Continue to pray. All right. If there is no other questions, we'll be available after the service. We'll talk to you. I hope you pick up a prayer card. Do pray for us. And at the end here, I'm going to mention a couple other prayer requests for you, okay? Let's just read a couple of scripture passages, and I am going to use my little basket that I brought here. We've got a couple things in here that I want to use for an illustration. We're going to be talking about light tonight. We've been thinking about Christmas lights. Probably some of you have picked up. I saw the sign at the end of the road that said, pick up your Christmas tree down the road here. And how many of you went there and got one? You didn't. Oh, my. Okay. There's a sign right down there. Okay. Never mind. But that's always exciting to get the tree in. And I thought that was an American tradition, right? To get the tree and decorate it and whatever, put the lights on. And oftentimes as you drive by, you see people who go to an extreme, right? They really do it up. I mean, the whole house is all lit up and everything, and your kids keep begging to go by there and just to see it. It's exciting. But it can be distracting. And I will explain that in a minute, okay? The lights of this world can be very distracting to us Christians. All right, remember that statement. Let's begin to read. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Let's pause right there, and let's take a quiz. Kids, what was the first thing that God created? The heavens and the earth. Very good. But right after that verse, what was really the first thing that he started creating? Light. Very good. If you think about it, when you walk into a room, the first thing you want to do if it's nighttime is turn on the light. What happens when you don't turn the light on, young man? Your little brother's Lego. Yes. How many of you have discovered a Lego with your bare feet and have said things that you've regretted later about your little brother or sister? Hey, Barbies tend to have pointy things too. That her nose really hurts at night, okay, when you step on her. All right. So, the reason we want to have light is so that we don't experience pain. Remember that thought. All right, let's continue. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the, what's that word? Light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, it's interesting that God created light first, I believe, for a purpose. Let's think about that. Why do you think God would create light first? What does the Bible say about God? Let's go to 1 John, and we're going to read a couple verses there, and then we're going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to light something up here, okay? Hopefully there's no smoke alarms. Okay. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, I was going to preach this today, and this morning, the missionary, Brother Paquette, was preaching, and he mentioned the connection between John 1 and 1 John 1. And I thought, I've got to read this. I wasn't planning on it, but it's there. All right? So 1 John chapter 1, let's begin in verse Let's begin at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, here we are again, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Have you ever asked yourself, why did he say that? Why did he mention touching with your hands of the word of life? How many of you know someone who is blind? Have they ever asked you, can I see your face? And they ask to touch your face. See, that's how the blind see, by touching. But most blind people that met Jesus, what happened to them? He healed them, right? They ended up seeing again. But I believe that's why it says our hands have handled, because we're going to talk in a little bit about what Satan does to people so that they can't see. For the life was manifested, verse 2, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice how light is involved with creation. Light is involved with God in the beginning. Light is involved with Christ, the connection there. Let's continue. And these things write unto you, write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Listen to this, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. How interesting. Why did God create light first? He wanted all of us to remember he is light. What's the next statement? And in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we are fellowship with him, again, fellowship, light, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us of all from all sin. How interesting that he connects light, fellowship, and us. Now, when Jesus came to earth, he said, I am the light of the world, right? But what did he say in Matthew? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. He knew he was going to have to leave this world physically, and he was going to have to light a candle, and he was going to have to leave the light with someone. He was going to have to pass that light to someone else. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, ye, this is Jesus speaking, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. I'm going to do it right now. There it is. All right. And I'm going to put something over it. All right. Let me remove all my other things out of here. And it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. What happens? Can you see the light? You can't see the light. All right. That's enough of that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But on a candlestick, which is up high, why? It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now he makes the application. Allow. This is an act of your will. Let your light so shine. That word so means in such a way. For God so loved the world. To that extent. So deeply. Let your light in that same way shine before men. It is a public thing. God does not have undercover Christians. He doesn't. You are either a public Christian or you're not. You say, well, what if I am a Christian but I don't show it? You're showing something. People are seeing your life and they're saying, you know, he says he's a Christian boy, but he lives just like all the rest of us. I don't really think he's saved. He's not different. Remember what God created at the beginning? Light. What did he do with that light? Well, let's go to Genesis. Whoa, there's another principle that's interesting, and it's applicable today, because today Satan is wanting to blur the lines, isn't he? The bathrooms are starting to have different signs on them. I finally ran into one up north. I was a little nervous. They didn't have a men's and a women's. It was both for both. And I didn't know. There was uncertainty. If I walk through this door, what am I going to find? Is it going to be man, woman, or something else? We laugh, but really it's sad, isn't it? That we've come to a point in our society that the lines have been blurred so that nothing is distinguishable. Look what God did at the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. Why? Because I am light. And I want people to know that is the first thing I create so that it gives me glory. So that it reflects my nature. Light is important to God. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. How interesting. What does the Bible say in John, in 1 John? God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. Is God good? I hope you think so. I hope you think so. There are people today that are going through problems and they doubt that. They get to the point of thinking, is God even there? Why? Because somebody is not shining. They find themselves in darkness, and Satan loves to turn off the light. Satan loves to cover your light. This is a symbol of sin. See, I can turn on, and I brought my flashlight to show it off. I like this flashlight because this flashlight saved my life, okay? When I was in Belize, I had an animal attack me. I've had several animals attack me, some of none really with two legs, but this one, some of you who live in Detroit know. Okay. There was a noise outside. And it is very hard to get weapons in Belize. I would have a shotgun if I was able to own one. And now we have a residence, so we're going to apply for one. But there was this noise. Tell me if you can identify this animal. Okay, we have a veterinarian and we have a man with a doctorate here. And let's see. This is the noise. Sounds kind of like a deer. A deer makes that noise. I've heard a deer go, and they tamp with their feet to try to wake you up, and you're there going, turn around so I can shoot you. That's happened to me. All right. That was a cat. I thought it was a snake. It sounded weird. And there's this big tree in front of our house, and there's a fence, and I have two Dobermans, okay? And that's why we haven't had any break-ins in the last 5 years. Amen? Hey, don't laugh. We pray for our Dobermans. When we leave the house, Lord, may your angels keep our Dobermans healthy and strong and alert, because this is our house, especially if our daughter stays there for even for a little while, and nothing has happened to us. Okay, so here we are, and I shine my light. I turn this light on, and it was dark, and I was shining all around, and I couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden, I hear something, and the dogs are going bananas. And this thing keeps going, and I thought, what is that? And I thought it was a snake or a lizard. We have giant iguanas down there. It wasn't. And then I went like this. Ooh, that's pretty intense, isn't it? You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is like a light. And it can reach inside people's hearts. And they can see what the intents, the thoughts. It is so intense. And there's so many things in the Bible. Let me challenge you to study light in the Bible. Did you know it wasn't just the first thing God created? Jesus came, and when you sang tonight, what did you talk about? The angels came, and what did the shepherd? Why were the shepherds scared? There was a bright light. He came in light. Later on, Zechariah said, he will be a light to the Gentiles. Later on, he said, I am the light of the world. Later on, he said, ye are the light of the world. And guess what? He's coming back in light. What does it say? As the lightning. And guess what? It says that he will destroy Satan with light. Interesting. Anyway, oh, you wanted to hear the rest of the story? Okay, so I shine up there, and I see two eyeballs, very bright. And he's coming towards me. And then I see a tail drop. And it was a cat about this long, this tall, and the tail was about this long. And it was either a margay or an ocelot. Now, if you know those two animals, they look a little bit like a jaguar, but it's not a jaguar. A jaguar would have probably taken all of us and had a feast, okay? But they're not very, they don't like people. They don't like to be where people are. All right, they're up in the jungle. But this one was coming towards the dogs, probably mad because just behind our house there is a chicken coop with 5,000 chicken, and he wanted to get there, and he thought we were competing for that, okay? So I went inside and I prayed, Lord, what do I do? I have a slingshot. That's not going to help much. Just last year, the little children in the village, the Spanish village, were playing with firecrackers. And these are triangular, and they're like this big, and they have the sound of an M80. I mean, a ball of fire this big, as loud or louder than a shotgun, really. I thought, I bought them from the lady. Because these kids were throwing them at each other. They could have blown their hands off. I said, whoa. Excuse me, how much are these? Okay. So I bought them, okay? Because I didn't want my kids hurt. You don't believe me, do you? Okay, I do like firecrackers too, but okay. So anyway, I was saving them exactly for this kind of moment. So I went out there and I lit one and I put it at the top of the pipe, the fence, and like a dummy, I went like this. And it went boom. And I looked around, the dogs were gone. And they didn't come back, okay? They were on the other side of the house thinking, what is this fool doing? Okay. Because they're not used to loud sounds. And then I thought, it's gone. So I shined up there again, and no eyeballs. Great. I turn around, and I heard, where is he? So I shined up again, and he was coming down the branch toward me again. I thought, what is wrong with this thing? I haven't done anything to it. But the branch went into the fence. He could have jumped down and hurt me. So I took another firecracker, put it up there, and again, like a dummy, I went like this. And I should have watched. Well, I turned around, and it was gone. I got my slingshot. I started shooting at the tree. Nothing came out. No sounds, so it was gone. It came back a few months later, and it was just walking across, and I was able to shine my light on it. But all that to say, lights can be very helpful, okay? And they can save your life. If you ask your pastor, and he's very honest with you, he will tell you, there have been times in which you tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay? In which he has forgotten something very important, like the grocery list or something like that. And it's usually up here somewhere, his Bible, and all the lights are off. And why turn all those lights on? I'm just going to run up there and get it. Has that ever happened to you? He probably still has the scars on his knee. Because these actually are padded. The majority of them have corners. There's a corner right there. Boy, and it hits you right in the knee, right in a very painful place. Okay? So what happens when we're in darkness? Well, let's read about it. What does the Bible say when men are in darkness? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to finish with this. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible is talking about us, Christians. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8. The Bible tells us, for ye, Paul says, were sometimes darkness. Sometimes you were walking, hurting yourselves and hurting others because you were in darkness. You didn't know where you were going. You didn't know what you were doing. You didn't know that you were hurting other people. Sin has consequences. Sin hurts. It hurts you. It hurts other people. Sometimes you were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, Satan, later on, there's other verses that talk about how Satan wants to keep you from being a light by covering your light. See, this little candle, if we turned all the lights off in this room, this little candle will light this whole room. It will dispel the darkness. There's not enough darkness in the universe to dispel the light from this little candle. Don't ever think, I am just a small person. I can't read very well. I don't know very much. How can God use me? If you have the light of the gospel in your heart, you've been saved by faith, and Jesus is in you and He is the light, no matter how small you are, He can use that light to bring others to Christ. Because this little light can save your life when there's complete darkness. But there's one thing that can stop this little light, and that is sin. People won't be able to see it. And you will trip and fall. So, one small light can make a difference. One small light can dispel all darkness. However, darkness cannot dispel light. Now, I'm probably speaking physics and I believe, weren't you involved with some kind of big machine that does something incredible somewhere in college? Okay, you're the right guy I'm thinking of. I just remember going, and what does this do? And what does this button do? And what is that? How much does that cost? Oh, you can't tell me. Okay. So, it was exciting to see where he worked and all the things that he did at the university. But you know what? Regardless of how much we know about light, we can know what the Bible tells us about light that is practical to our Christian life. God is light. Light is fast. Light dispels darkness. You can try to go outside and grab some darkness and come here and try to dispel the light, and it won't work. But you go outside and turn on a little light, and it will dispel darkness. God is powerful. Light is powerful. Did you know they cut things with light? It's called lasers. I'm not thinking Star Wars. I know right away you're thinking, choo-choo, choo-choo, choo. Right. No, I'm not. Okay. Boy, these guys just smiled all of a sudden. All right. But isn't it true? They can cut 2-3-inch steel with light. Very concentrated light. See, God has so much power, and He wants to shine through us. And He wants to make a difference. He wants to be an influence in this world. It says, let your light shine before men. Other people in your neighborhood, other people at school, other people in your workplace ought to know and see that person is different. There's a light about them. When they come into the room, it's just brighter. I don't know, I can't explain it. They should be able to say that about you. What does the Bible say about eternity without God? They were cast into outer darkness. Why? Because darkness is the absence of God. Hopelessness, never being able to see light again. You know, Jesus probably yelled. He probably made sounds when he was whipped. Jesus probably moaned. We know he sighed. But the moment that he screamed the worst in pain is when the light of his Father's face was turned. He could not look upon his Son, because he was covered with our sin. And he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. What was he saying? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, that is going to be the most painful thing in hell. Not the fire, not the worms, but the absence of God. Pastor, I thought this was going to be a message about missions. It is. It is. See, your investment helped bring some people from darkness into the light. And today there are people in Belize that you're going to meet someday in heaven, and they're going to come up to you and thank you and say, because of you, because you prayed, because you gave, because you came to visit. I hope you send your pastor to Belize. He's going to enjoy it. We're going to put him to work. It has been a blessing working and representing, working for you and representing you for the last 5 years in Belize. I want to ask you to pray. We're going to the next step. Two churches have been started. They have their own leaders. And we go back, and brother, you know better. I'm not going to go and take over those churches. They already have their leaders. Pray that everything works out so that they can take over as pastors and we can charter the churches and be organized, have their own constitution and everything. Then what do? We're going to plant another church. And guess what? We started to think about where, in a central place in Belize, so we can reach out. And this time we want to have other programs that we need. Leadership training, an institute. We were scraping and looking for a pastor to pastor the English-speaking church. We were looking for a pastor to pastor the Spanish-speaking church. And there were none. So we thought, we need to train our own. Well, this last week, as we're praying and hoping to go back in June, someone made a piece of land available to us. 10 acres, has river access on the main road. It has a church building about the size of this one, a little bit smaller, okay? It has 2 houses. It has 2 dorms for young people to come on mission trips. The houses are air-conditioned, staff, sponsors. The other ones are no. I think they're all air-conditioned. But either way, Belize is very hot. Imagine the possibilities. Camp, retreats, couple retreats, VBS, church in 2 languages. Now you say, well, how much is all going to cost? This thing is valued at over $600,000. And we talked to the lady, the owner, the couple. They're very sick. They're wanting to sell right away. I said, okay. They said, 10 organizations have come trying to buy it, and they haven't been able to come up with the money. I said, I know why. I know why. I believe God is reserving this for us. I said, we want to have ministry there. We don't want to use it to make money. See, they didn't start a church. They're using it to bring groups down ecumenically. And so we said, we want to start a church there. We want to put an institute there. We want to maybe do a daycare as an outreach. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And they said, okay, if you're going to have ministry in there, we're Baptists, but they're Southern. But we'll let you have it for $360. I thought, okay, thank you. That's great. That's wonderful. This morning I asked Brother Paquette, do you know anyone that would have that kind of money? He said, yes, I do. And I got excited and he said, he does. And you know, he's right. Because whoever God uses, if that is his will, he will use it and he will purchase it because it's for his work. Jesus said, I will build my church. So what I want you to do is to pray that if it is God's will, he will move someone's heart. We don't want to make payments. We would rather buy it outright so that we can start using it in June when we get there. Okay? That is a big prayer request. Pray for our daughter. She's still struggling with health issues. Okay? She had her gallbladder out about a month and a half ago, and she's still having some problems. Just pray for her. It's her last year of high school. She wants to graduate. Go to a 1-year Bible at West Coast, wants to serve the Lord, has been a tremendous help to us in the ministry with the children, with the young people, and it's just been a puzzle. It's been something that Satan has been using to discourage us. Just pray that God will give us answers in that, all right? And I will encourage you, because we hate to leave her like that and go back to the mission field, and yet, you know, and she doesn't want to be a burden. She wants to go on, move on, and meet that, go to college, that special one, right, in college. And so you pray for her, okay? So you have a lot of decisions. I got to teach her how to drive, so pray for me. All of that in the next 6 months, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've been able to just sit and enjoy this time together, and we've laughed and we've meditated on your word, and we've seen how you created the light first, and then you sent your Son to be a light and life.